We will take a moment now and spin our way over to the ice, where the Colorado Avalanche will start their season tonight in Vegas against the Vegas Golden Knights. Joining us, the host of Rinkside with Arif Dean, is Arif Dean. Arif, thanks so much. We're good to go. Season's starting. That obviously is an exciting part of the puzzle. But when you and I spoke last, the Avalanche's start was always going to be challenging, in part because we will get into all of the details of it. But the first 9-10 games with this roster is quite possibly not the roster you're going to see 10, 12, and maybe even months after that, right?
100%. And a lot of fans might have some fighting words with Nate there picking Vegas Golden Knights on the money line, but I don't blame him.
Last year, 7-0 loss from the early part of last year.
Yeah, for the first time, yeah, I totally forgot about that game, Wolf. For the first time in probably four and a half, five years, the Avalanche are going to have their work cut out for them. But if there is a silver lining, and it is a huge silver lining, is we all thought the same thing about the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, but they had their star forward in Kucherov. They had their star defenseman in Hedman. And then obviously guys like Braden Point. The Colorado Avalanche still have Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, all healthy, all ready to go. So I think they will weather the storm, but it's a lot more of a coin flip for a lot of these games than it probably would have been had they been healthy to start the year.
Yeah, and let's look at that roster. Let's look at, you know, the youth that's on there, especially when you're talking about potentially guys like Cal Ritchie and Nikolai Kovalenko and Ivan. How much of this is going to be more of a test run for some of these guys? Do you expect them all to stick? Do you expect one of them to stick? Do you expect none of them to stick? How much rotation is going to be going on in the early going in these first, let's say, 10 games?
So I think Kovalenko is going to be a full-timer this entire season. He plays the type of game where second, third, fourth line, wherever you can put him, he will make an impact. Cal Ritchie, I'm a lot more curious about. Ivan, I think he's a little bit lower down the depth chart. That's just the reality. Because it's as simple as this. Are Turi Lehkonen and Val Nichushkin, right now, it sounds like both of those guys are going to play in November. That's the hope. That's the plan. Ask me early November, late November. Obviously, for Val, it would have to be mid to late November. But even Arturi, ask me early, ask me mid, ask me late. I don't know. But if both of those guys are back in November, and we're going to keep Gabe Landeskog aside, we're not even going to mention him right now. But if both of those guys are back, it's going to be hard for Kovalenko or Ritchie to even crack the top nine unless one of them gives Jared Bednar a reason to say Miles Wood or Logan O'Connor, or perhaps both, are better suited for the fourth line, which is likely going to be centered by Parker Kelly, which leaves Joel Kiviranta, Ivan, a lot of these guys kind of on the outside looking in. So Kovalenko, I think, is going to be a legitimate full-timer this entire season. Ritchie and Ivan, given the games that they play, the skill that they have, they're not really cut out for the fourth line much. Ivan a little bit more than Ritchie. Their game is going to determine what the Avalanche do. The Avalanche are going to need a reason for Jared Bednar to say, we cannot, absolutely not, send Cal Ritchie down. He needs to play on the wing or center the third line. And Logan O'Connor and Miles Wood, it's not that you're getting into motion. It's that we need this kid in the lineup, so you're on the fourth line. That's going to be the only way he sticks.
Well, let's skip ahead a little bit. Not so much to Landeskog, because when Landeskog is ready, he'll play. We're not worried about how Landeskog gets reincorporated into the locker room. He's the captain, and the Avs are not electing another one, because of Landeskog's absence. But when you talk about the Nichushkin situation, it's different. All offseason, I've had people ask me about this situation, and you and I have talked about it as well. Look, it's not one, but it's the last two playoffs in a row where Nichushkin, unintentionally, intentionally, whatever you want to say. I don't think it was meant to, but one way or the other, the last two playoffs, Nichushkin sabotaged the team and directly led to their bouncing from the playoffs. No one's going to want to trade for that guy coming off of the suspension. No one's going to want to trade for that guy given the amount of money that's remaining on his contract, which is fully guaranteed. The Avalanche are stuck. They have to find a way to reincorporate them. But what you're asking the rest of the locker room to do, a locker room that was very, what was, I would say, tentatively generous in welcoming him back next year, and they were rewarded with another good year for as long as he played and a terrific playoffs for as long as he played by Nichushkin. But doing it twice, 2 years in a row, obviously players aren't going to have a lot of trust and faith in it. How do the Avalanche possibly make this work without really messing with their locker room? Because they're stuck with it one way or the other.
They're going to need to hear something from Val Nichushkin that says he's learned from his mistakes. I mean, the reality is, look, without getting into the reasons why he's in the player assistance program, without talking about addiction, without talking about all of that, because obviously that's a subject that everybody handles differently. Mm-hmm. But this is a great example. I wrote about this on ColoradoHockeyNow.com yesterday because we did talk to Chris McFarland and he made a lot of comments about Val Nichushkin. He was expecting that there would be a lot of Nichushkin questions. There was, and he answered them thoroughly. The reality is you can look, and again, aside from the reason why he's been out the last couple of years, you can look at the guy that played with Val Nichushkin in 2022 and Nazem Kadri as a guy that got suspended three times in the playoffs, yep, ruined it for his team three times. Everybody wanted him gone from Toronto. Everybody wanted him gone from the Avalanche. Everybody didn't want to trust him anymore. Why do we give him a third, fourth chance? He's 28, 29, 30 years old. This is the third and fourth time he's done this. He came back. He won the Stanley Cup. We all miss him and we wish he was still here. So when I look at someone like Val Nichushkin, it's as simple as this. Learn from your mistake. Make it clear that you've learned from your mistakes. Not mistake, but mistakes, multiple. And go out there and play the game and win. Show you care. The reality of Val Nichushkin is it's really hard to kind of like say this and make it make sense, but there's two levels to him. There is, I get suspended and I'm cost my team. And there is, I care and I'm the hardest working dude on the ice. Like, there is no middle ground for him. There is no such thing as Val Nichushkin mailing it in. Maybe there was early in his career with the Dallas Stars when he was trying to figure this NHL thing out, but he doesn't do that with the Avalanche. He really, truly doesn't. And there was a quote from Chris McFarland yesterday, and I'm going to pull it up right here. He said, the players, all they want to know is first and foremost that Val's healthy, but most importantly, that he understands the hurt that they went through, especially at playoff times. How they do that is something that I'm certainly not going to comment on. That's something personal in the room. But I can tell you this, there's not one single player that's not going to welcome back Val with open arms. And there is a big reason for that, Sean. In 149 games with Val Nichushkin in the lineup over the last 3 years, they have lost 35 times in regulation. They've played 149. They've lost 35 in regulation. In the 77 games without him, they have lost 33 times in regulation.
Winning solves a lot of it, obviously.
Winning solves a lot of it. He's an exceptional player. He's a two-way. He's a one-of-one. I asked Casey Mittelstadt about it on Ringside with Eric Dean. There's nobody like him in the NHL that has the size he has and the skating ability he has and the strength and the goal scoring, the net front presence. He's truly a one of one in the NHL. He had 36 goals last year. He was incredible. I think he finished the playoffs with being top five in the NHL in goals. If not fifth, then he was tied for fifth or sixth.
You're right.
And he was suspended halfway through the second round. He's an unbelievable talent. And no matter how we want to shake it, in the end, talent solves and winning solves all problems.
Well, you mentioned Casey Mittelstadt. You know, the latest Ringside with Arif Dean has an interview with Casey Mittelstadt talking about his relationship with his Avalanche teammates a little bit from the latest episode. Here is Arif and Casey Mittelstadt.
Obviously, like you said, we got Kale and Nate and a bunch of stars. So, but they've been awesome to me, like awesome. Really taking me under their wing, I feel like, and, you know, helped me show the way. I think, especially Kale, we're very close in age. I think we'll end up being pretty good friends. And, you know, Nate, on the flip side, I've played quite a bit of golf with them and things like that. So it's been pretty easy to get to know those guys. And honestly, they've been very, very welcoming. And I've had a blast doing it.
couple late moves in the preseason as well. They pick up John Ludwig off of waivers from the Pittsburgh Penguins, 24-year-old defenseman who played 33 games for them last year. They trade Eric Brännström, who was considered a pretty interesting player out for Scandinavia. They trade him for Poolman from Vancouver. Poolman is not expected to play the whole season. Can you then will become a free agent after that, and Vancouver will retain some of his salary. Can you explain the genesis between those two moves? Because obviously they have very different objectives.
Yeah, this is actually something I wrote about on Colorado Hockey Now over the weekend as well. I don't even know what day it is. Monday night I wrote about it.
It's opening night. What day it is. It's opening night.
Yeah, it's opening night. That's what it is. It's the start of hockey season, even though it's like 85 degrees in Denver, whatever the heck it's been the last 4 days. For starting with Eric Brännström was traded, according to Chris McFarland, because Sam Molinsky gave them a reason to trade Eric Brännström. The Avs went into this with three guys, Molinsky, Brännström, and Shillington, who all play a very similar game, thinking who's going to stick out and who's going to earn the spot. And Brännström was so far and away better than the other three guys, if you include Calvin DeHaan. But most importantly, Brännström and Shillington as the other two puck movers, that Bednar and McFarland were like, this guy's not, you know, top four and bottom four. No, we have a top five defenseman and then a bottom three. And part of the top five is Sam Molinsky. He has separated himself from the pack. So that led to trading Eric Brännström, keeping Shillington, and then bringing in John Ludwig as a different element, as Jared Bednar put it. Ludwig is a physical presence. He fights, he hits. Why keep both Shillington and Brännström if barely any minutes are going to be available for them if Sam Molinsky continues to do what he's doing, obviously assuming everybody's healthy, which as we know is probably not going to happen for 82 games. So let's keep Shillington as the extra. Let's get rid of Brännström. Trading him for Poolman, simply put, I'll try to explain this as easily as I can. It's to maximize the LTIR cap space. Gabe Landeskog is going to go on long-term injury reserve until he's ready to play. That $7 million gets cleared off the cap. It gives the Avalanche flexibility. But you don't get his entire salary. You get how much his salary puts you over the cap is what you get in flexibility. So by keeping Brännström, the Avalanche would have been about $1.5 million under the cap, which means when they put Landeskog on LTIR, they only clear up $5.5 million of flexibility. Adding Tucker Poolman puts them closer to the top of the cap ceiling. It puts them $44,000 away from the cap ceiling. So now when you put Landeskog and Poolman on waivers or on LTIR, you clear up all of Landeskog's $7 million except for a measly $44,000. So it clears up more cap space. So if they weren't going to keep Brännström anyway, you may as well use him to be in a trade to maximize your LTIR flexibility. So now ultimately, if all of those numbers sounded confusing, it's as simple as this. Val Nichushkin's salary cap right now does not count against the Avs cap because he's suspended and he needs to be reinstated in order for him to be an active roster player. Without the Poolman trade, you couldn't add Nichushkin into the lineup and make it salary cap compliant without making other moves. Now, if all things stay the same, the Avs don't make any trades, no roster moves, no injuries. The roster we see today is the roster that's playing when Val Nichushkin's ready, which includes Arturi Lehkonen. Even though he's injured, he's on the cap. If all of that stays the same, the moment Val Nichushkin's ready to be reinstated, his salary cap fits into the cap structure because of the Brännström for Poolman trade. That's the easiest way to put it. And the Avalanche in the process got a free fourth round draft pick, which is good collateral to use leading up to the trade deadline. So it's a smart, savvy numbers move in a league that has a triple hard cap where you need to make those kinds of moves to kind of gain the upper hand leading up to the playoffs.
And in the early phases here of the season in October, you're going to see the Avalanche potentially making a lot of those as they continue to maximize what they need to do to stay under the salary cap while also keeping the rookie status of players like Richie and Ivan. Ivan, I agree with you. Kovalenko is here to stay. I think you and I saw that when we were hosting an event down at number 38 in Rhino for an Avs playoff game. By the way, I'll be back there tonight with Nate Lundy. So if you want to come down to number 38 in Rhino, you can check it out. We'll be down there with the live pregame. We'll have a watch party. It'll be a tremendous amount of fun. But you want to make sure you check out Ringside at 13. You saw the clip there with Casey Mittelstadt, and check out everything that Arif is doing. So go subscribe and check it all out, because it's going to be a fun season, because the Avs are going to be a playoff team, barring a whole series of Simpson-esque accidents. They're going to make the playoffs, but it's going to be an interesting, bumpy ride at times. So make sure you follow Ringside of the RFD for all the latest. Always fun to talk to you about it. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's get the season going.
I'm so excited for hockey. It's a wonderful time.
All right. Thanks so much, Eric. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Eric Dean, follow the, go ahead and get that, the podcast Ringside with Eric Dean. You can check it out on YouTube as well, just like you can this show. And we'll talk about a big, big game coming up for the Colorado Buffaloes. The biggest, at least since the opening game of Deion Sanders' tenure, except that one didn't matter as much as this one does. Chase Howell from The Sco Show will join us next.